CinemaDraw is brought to you by Guinea Pixel. Guinea Pixel is a developer of Android games available on Google Play. There's two games out right now, Awesome Space Shooter and Bullet Time Bob. Both of them are a great way to pass some time while you're waiting online or listening to podcasts if you need something to do with your thumbs. Check them out. Download them today. They're on Google Play. And if you want to find out more about the games that Guinea Pixel has upcoming, check them out. They are at guineapixel.com. That's Guinea, G-U-I-N-E-A, hyphen, pixel, P-I-X-E-L.com. And we thank them for their support of CinemaDraw. You're listening to CinemaDraw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location this week from Chicago's Comic and Entertainment Expo, C2E2. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye, the movie guy, and this week on CinemaDraw, Matt, we get very geeky as we record live at C2E2, as you had mentioned.
Yeah, I'm in just my underoos today.
We got a really cool booth here, and thankfully, because you're just in your underoos.
Yeah. No comment on that. I was going to say, Captain America. How about it, right?
That's pretty nice.
That's some good shield placement.
We have been here now. I think this is maybe our fifth year at C2E2.
Man, the years are just flying by at CinemaDraw. But it should be noted that we have been at every single C2E2. The very first year, I was still doing comics. But you showed up and we did some flyering. We had just started CinemaDraw.
Yeah, this by far is our biggest endeavor. As the podcast has grown, we've grown our presence here at C2E2.
We have.
We actually brought a PA system this time, and we've had huge crowds in front of our booth doing the fun movie trivia that the Jawheads who listen to this show every week know that we end our show with.
Yeah, and if you couldn't be here in Chicago with us this weekend, we thought we would record an episode to bring it out to the rest of the world and show you a little bit about what C2E2 is all about.
Sure. And this week on the show, we have three great guests that are going to join us. And that's what's really interesting. When you're here at C2E2, it gives us an opportunity to really find some creative people, some guys that are interesting to talk to. Yeah. And I think we did a great job. We lined up three great ones that are going to be joining us later on today.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like you said, we barely scratched the surface. This show is so huge. But we did get some great guests. We have Kevin Gilligan from Geeks Out. We have Josh Randall from the Insidious Oculus Rift Tour. He's going to tell us a bunch about that. And last but not least, we have Gabriel Hardman, who did the storyboards for a couple of films you might have heard of, Rye. Like, oh, I don't know, Inception? Have you ever heard of that movie?
One of the most visually stunning movies of the last 10 years.
And Dark Knights.
Yes.
And that's just a couple of the films. I'll save it for the interview.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him, too. And I'm going to ask him what his first movie was. What do you think it was? I have no idea, but it's going to be... I'm going to ask him where he got his start.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out.
But I know he does work with Christopher Nolan a lot, and we'll see what he's working on now as well.
I'm excited to talk to him.
So am I. That's going to be awesome. We also go eye for an eye on a new movie, Hot Pursuit. Okay. Plus, we have a poll question going here at C2E2. It seems to us, and I want to get into this with you, that the baton has been passed from the Spielberg and Lucas era to the new blockbuster directors. And the three main ones right now, obviously with the Avengers coming out, Joss Whedon, Christopher Nolan, and J.J. Abrams. We got a poll up.
I would agree with you, yeah.
Right, and we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to get people's comments as they walk by our booth and edit that into a nice little package and see what they're voting for.
What is the question, per se?
It is this, Matt. Who out of those three do you trust the most?
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah. All right? So it's a passion movie that you're really excited about. Which of those directors do you have the most trust in of making a great film?
Man, it's a good question.
It is. So it is a jam-packed jaw, as always, Matt.
Jam-packed jaw, as always.
So before we get to all that fun, Matt, we have a segment, Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore, and Eye for an Eye is sponsored by...
OnScribe. Ryan, we've met a lot of creators here at CinemaDraw, other people doing podcasts and various projects. OnScribe is perfect to monetize your project. It allows your users the freedom to pick their own payment gateway, while OnScribe automates the process of grouping, tracking, and reporting on your subscribers. It only takes a couple of minutes to set up, and it's so convenient. You can get paid through your preferred payment method like PayPal, Facebook payments, etc. It's very easy to use. It's great for creators. It's OnScribe, OnScribe.be. If you're a creator and you're looking to monetize, use OnScribe. Check them out. Again, OnScribe.be.
Eye for an eye this week, Matt. Hot Pursuit. An inept police officer must protect the widow of a drug dealer from criminals and dirty policemen. This comedy stars Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara. It is directed by Anne Fletcher, who also directed The Guilt Trip, 27 Dresses, and The Proposal. Matt, interested or ignore on Hot Pursuit?
Wow, could her filmography be any worse? Ignore.
We saw the trailer, I believe, before one of the screenings that we went to. Can't remember.
Well, I can't
either.
It
was the first I had heard of the movie, and I saw it come on. And I hate Sofia Vergara. I really do. I don't know. She just annoys me. I know people like the way she looks, but I don't. I am annoyed by her when she's on screen. I really am.
Oh, she's pretty, but yeah, annoying. I don't know. She's funny enough.
I like that it's done by a female director, and it's a female-driven comedy.
Yeah.
That aspect I really do like. I don't think we get enough of that.
No, I agree with you. But those movies that she's done in the past were terrible.
And that's why I got to give it an ignore as well. Two ignores for Hot Pursuit. All right, Matt, as I mentioned at the beginning, our poll question, there are people voting on it right now. It's currently going. Which director of these three do you trust the most? Whedon, Nolan, or J.J. Abrams? Matt, I saw you put a sticker on our poll.
I did. Where'd
you put it, buddy?
Well, here's the thing. This is a question about trust, right? We trusted J.J. with Star Trek. He didn't let us down. And now we are trusting him with Star Wars. That is a lot of trust. I'm not saying that the trust is going to be fulfilled or lived up to, but I think it will be. So I think, who do we trust the most? It's a no-brainer. We trust J.J. the most.
Really?
Yes. J.J. Wow. Abrams. How about you, Ryan? Who do you trust?
Well, I put my vote down, and when I was really looking at it, I thought about it for a second. And let's be serious here. Who has, out of those three, the best filmography?
Yeah, I don't even know if that's the question, though.
I know, but look at how good his filmography is, and that's why I have such good trust in him. I obviously had to put my vote for Christopher Nolan.
Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong with any of these guys.
Now, here's the thing. The poll has been open now for a few hours here on the floor, and Joss Whedon is running away with it. That's ridiculous.
Well,
ridiculous.
We are at a Comic-Con.
He is the worst out of the three. Now, when I say worst yes, Matt, he is the worst out of the three.
No, he's not.
That's not the worst thing in this particular group that he's in. But out of those three, I would take J.J. Abrams over him. I would take Nolan, obviously, as I said, over him. And yet he's winning in a landslide right now.
You know, I don't think he's the worst of the three. He made The Avengers, which is a great movie. Dr. Horrible, great movie. I love Joss Whedon. There's no way you can... Yeah, who is the worst of the three? I don't even want to say.
I don't know. Well, the first two guests that we have on, I'm going to ask right off the bat who their trust is in the most.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll get a feedback from them. And in fact, what we should do right now is get a little... These people are voting. Let's get some reaction from the floor on who's voting and why they're voting for them.
Okay, I see you're voting on this question. So let me ask you, which director do you trust the most? J.J. Abrams, Joss Whedon, or Christopher Nolan?
Andrew from Marinette, Wisconsin. And I voted for Joss Whedon because Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Firefly, The Avengers. I don't think I need to say anymore.
My name is Thomas Trumberger. I'm from New York City. And I voted for Joss Whedon because I'm a Whedon fanboy, I guess is the best answer for that. Better story writer than Nolan. We trust with a bigger franchise than Abrams can. I think that's my answer.
Jason, I chose Joe Whedon. I have put trust in him with The Avengers and Serenity.
I'm Catherine. I'm from the North Shore suburbs here, and I voted for Joss Whedon because I still love Buffy the Vampire Slayer so much, so I definitely trust him because of that.
Okay, I'm Steven from Chicago, and I went with Christopher Nolan. Because his adaptations of the Batman movies were great, so I went with him.
That was a solid reason. I'm Stephanie. I also am from Chicago, and I went with J.J. Abrams because he has less, and I feel bad.
Nice. Lynn, Germantown Hills, Illinois, J.J. Abrams, because I really like the reboot of Star Trek.
Anthony from New York. I voted for Joss Whedon because Avengers is cool, has a bunch of heroes in it, combines them all, nice storyline, a lot of action.
Okay, Jamie Taylor from Chicago, Illinois. I voted for Joss Whedon because the Avengers movie was off the chain. And just his writing style and the way they made the movies and everything. Basically, out of all the other movies that I've seen, the superhero movies that I've seen, those are like the best, the Avengers movies and the individual ones. So I just trust in Joss Whedon, period.
Hi, I'm Paul. I'm from Chicago, and I voted for J.J. Abrams because Joss Whedon has made one movie that I found really exciting, obviously Avengers. J.J. Abrams, I've probably seen four or five movies that he's directed that were really exciting to me visually and, you know, story-wise, everything like that. So that's why I voted for J.J. Abrams.
I'm Shannon. I'm from Jackson, Missouri, and I voted for Christopher Nolan because I love every film he's done, whether it's the Dark Knight Rises series or even The Following, or that one where a creepy man follows the gals and just watches. He makes it dark, but it's still not dark enough that you're scared. And it's just great. I love it. He's wonderful.
My name is Michael Caine. I'm from Gary, Indiana, now Maryville. And I voted for J.J. Abrams because I think he is really good at character development.
My name is Heather. I'm from Highland, Indiana. I voted for Joss Whedon just because I've seen all of his movies, and I've liked every single one.
I'm Alex Oliveris, and I voted for Christopher Nolan. All of his movies are really good. I mean, if you think about it, even like Interstellar, which isn't even, you know, superhero movie, but he does really good stuff, you know, going all the way back to when he did Memento. It was really good. Most of his stuff is really good.
Okay, my name is Uriel. I'm from Brazil, and I voted in Christopher Nolan because I think he's awesome.
Hi, my name is Julian. I'm from Brazil, and I voted in Christopher Nolan because he's the best.
My name is Stephanie. I'm from Chicago, and I voted for J.J. Abrams because I've seen his previous work, and I think he's going to be a great director for Star Wars.
My name is Matthew from Chicago. I voted for J.J. Abrams because I saw him speak at Star Wars Celebration, and it was just very inspiring, and you can tell that he's really dedicated to his work, so he's definitely the guy.
And you heard it right there. It seems like everybody loves Joss Whedon here, Matt.
Well, again, we are at Comic-Con, so yeah, people love the Avengers here. And even though Nolan did Dark Knight and Abrams did Star Trek, Star Wars, I just think people like, I think the safe money's on Joss.
Ah, man. You know what's funny, too, is instead of having a guest take you on in trivia, I noticed a bunch of these comic book nerds, if you will.
Yeah.
And we are playing this week
geeks,
on Cinema
right,
Job.
Geeks.
Okay. This week, this is what I'm gonna say to you. Women of comic book movies,
ooh,
movie trivia. Can you do that?
I can do that.
All right. We're going to play that at the end, and we're just going to grab a random fan and have like a prize pack to give away. That sound
yeah,
pretty good?
Yeah.
But what we're going to do right now is our first guest is here. It is a big guest for us. Gabriel Hardman, who has done storyboards for Inception, The Dark Knight Rises. He also has a comic book out. We're going to talk to Gabriel right now. Gabriel, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Oh, thank you.
It's so fun coming to C2E2 and all the Comic-Cons. You get to meet a lot of really talented people, and you've done some pretty amazing things, which not the least of which is working on some pretty impressive movies doing the storyboards.
Yeah.
How do you get involved with the storyboards? How does that come about?
Well, I mean, that's basically been my main career for, you know, 15 years or something like that. I mean, I started in the late 90s. I had a comic career when I was in my teens and early 20s, drawing books for Marvel, but the industry sort of collapsed back then, and I moved out to Los Angeles and just kept telling people that I wanted to be a storyboard artist without actually making any attempts to do it. And
so that was your goal.
I wouldn't say that. No, my goal was to make films, but doing storyboards seemed like a at least a route into the film industry and something I could do. I could draw, but I was also, you know, I hadn't studied, you know, film, you know, in school, but I was a huge fan, and I was also just really interested technically in films and studying on my own. And so when putting these things together, it seemed like a pretty natural thing that I could, you know, I could apply that to doing storyboards as a way into the film industry.
So what was the first movie that you did a storyboard for? What was the first job?
Austin Powers.
Oh, a little film you might have heard of, yeah.
Well, it actually was a little film. It was a $16 million non-union movie. Mike Myers' career was not doing well at the time, and he was kind of looking to reinvent himself. You know, there was a first-time director, so it was something that, you know, and then when the movie started shooting, it went union, which grandfathered me into the union, which is something that people, you know, a lot of the times it takes people 10 years to get in there, and that means I can work on studio films, work on a lot.
Which union in particular? Is there?
Well, at the time it was the illustrators and matte painters local. But that then kind of got subsumed into the Art Directors Guild, which is what I'm in now.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then from there, did you do all the storyboards for the rest of the Austin Powers?
I did. Yeah, I did. And, you know, that and like and early on, I did a lot of comedies and stuff. But then X-Men 2, I think, was the first, you know, one of the first superhero movies that I worked on. And, you know, I boarded the Nightcrawler thing from the beginning of that movie and where he breaks into the White House. And like, and that ended up kind of, you know, transitioning.
That came
into
out
a
of
lot
your
of
head.
Super, in a lot of ways, yeah. I mean, it was something that, you know, certainly the bones of it did. I mean, it was something that I had not worked with Bryan Singer before, and really I just came in and was given, you know, given a loose scripted version of that and pitched it, you know, and basically drew the sequence and pitched it to Bryan before I'd even, you know, I drew it before I'd even met him. So, and a lot of that basically ended up, you know, going through the movie, you know. Evolving, of course, because that's how it works.
Sure, and that leads me to that question. Here you say you pitched it to Bryan Singer in that case, but most times do the directors come to you and ask for a certain look, or are you sometimes turning it around and pitching it to them?
Doing storyboards is more about, you know, planning shots for the film, right? And the way that the story is going to be told visually. So, you know, and the ideal way that it works is that the director sits down with you and he or she has a clear idea and you go away and you draw their, you know, the shots that they intend. It almost never works like that. I mean, but it also is sort of that I think that, you know, I and other, you know, sort of top storyboard people, you know, you get a reputation for being able to craft a sequence and, you know, being somebody that people can depend on to do that. So, you know, so then it ends up kind of working like that, that, you know, more often than not, you know, you're either given a script or not given a script and just have to kind of develop these sequences and pitch the idea to the director. And then, you know, sometimes it's basically whatever you did in the first place. And sometimes it evolves or whatever.
You know, and that's what I was going to say. It's almost like a very similar muscle between comics and filmmaking because it's all just sequential pictures, you know?
Yeah, it's
visual storytelling.
In essence, it's all visual storytelling. But, you know, I mean, they're very different mediums.
For sure.
And you have to bring very different things to them. But, you know, yeah, absolutely. At its core, it's just visual storytelling.
And you worked on one of the most visual striking movies in modern times, Inception.
And that's where I was going next. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the really good thing about working on Inception was that, I mean, that was the first movie I did with Chris Nolan. And it was just... It was exciting to work on something that was an original project. It was an original script. I mean, you know, all of these superhero movies and these, franchise things they're all based on something. They're all about, you know, pre-awareness, as they say. And, you know, Inception was the opposite of that.
It's sure.
It was new. You know, it was new and it was, you know, it wasn't sold as something that where the entire plot was explained to you. It was, you know, it was an interesting, challenging script, and you know that was a really positive thing, especially at that point where I felt like I just kept working on superhero sequels, which weren't necessarily great.
Yeah, and were you excited? Do you see like the script, or does Christopher Nolan come to you and give you sort of the idea of what Inception is? How it starts?
Well, it starts with me just going and meeting Chris and talking.
How
bit.
Cool is that?
It's my job, actually.
It's awesome, though.
No, it may be, you know, but it's my job. I work
just another
in an
day
industry.
At the office. Yeah.
No, I work in an industry. It's my job to meet, to, you know, but like met with him initially, but then the good thing about Chris's movies is that he there is a script, you know, and so often, you know, there's part of a script or there's, you know, it's being worked on as we're, you know, trying to make the movie.
Right.
And with Chris's movies, you always start with a script that's basically what, you know, what the film's going to be, and, you know, in pretty locked, or he wouldn't be starting the movie. So, like, and that's a very, very rare thing, but it means that everybody's making the same movie, you know, everybody has has something to go by, and he's very much the director of the film, and, you know, having that finished script is enormous for the being able to make ambitious movies of that scale.
Sure. And how exciting is it to see the finished project after you've sort of came up with the concept of how the shot's going to be done? And then when you finally see it, is that pretty awesome?
I think you're asking the wrong person about this stuff because, like, the it's supposed to be the audience gets excited for it. I'm a guy who works on it and has seen this stuff forever and has, you know, it's not, I don't look at it as exciting. I look at it as, well, you know, some of that got on there and, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But I mean, I don't have the perspective. I'm not a fan. I don't have the perspective of going to the movie and seeing it like that. I've seen this stuff forever and I know it all already.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew all those levels of that dream backwards and forwards and this giant phone book full of things. I never want to even think about it again.
Wow.
You know?
Well, as fans of these movies, we thank you for your work, man, because
it was awesome.
Some of the best stuff, you know, I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
And so then from there, you were able to work on The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Another great movie, Matt.
Oh, man, yeah. Gabriel, you're knocking him out of the park.
I know.
So, and speaking of your artwork, now you have a brand new book coming out from Image Comics called Invisible Republic.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing with the comics, the reason I want to do comics, I mean, as we were saying, it's all visual storytelling, and that's what interests me. But in comics, you know, I'm writing these books. My wife and I write Invisible Republic together.
You're the director.
But, you know, we're the, you know, we are the people who are deciding what story we want to tell. And, you know, no matter what, working on films is, even if it's great, you know, I really think Inception is a great movie, but I'm not the one who's choosing this project. I'm not choosing the story to tell, you know? So in comics, comics is 100% about us crafting these stories ourselves, saying the things we want to say, exploring the themes we wanted to explore, and being able to do it in just a very, you know, in a medium that is, you know, really a vital, interesting medium. Having nothing to do with superheroes.
And for the jawheads listening to this that might be interested in checking out Invisible Republic, what is it about? Give it a little bit of a sales pitch, if you will.
It's the rise and fall of a dictator on a remote planet, but it's seen from after his regime has fallen and from the very beginning, you know, when he was just a destitute refugee. And it's told through the point of view of his cousin, his female cousin, who's sort of been expunged from history at that point. So it's a reporter investigating this.
That sounds awesome. You also did Kinski, right?
Yeah. And with Kinski, it's a sort of quirky, you know, Coen Brothers-y sort of, crime story, and that a guy steals a dog and his life sort of falls apart because of it. But, it's a kind of fun, suspenseful book, but it's also I did absolutely everything in it. I mean, I wrote it, I drew it, I lettered it. I'm able to have the control of being responsible for every single bit of the story and how it's told. You know, so
that's got to be gratifying.
Yeah, no, that actually is very gratifying. Yeah.
That's good.
And you go to a lot of these conventions, Comic Cons and C2E2 and all the good stuff, or do you just hit the big ones?
I guess fairly big ones, you know. I mean, the best con is, you know, something like Emerald City in Seattle, which is big, and there's a lot of stuff there, but it's also still accessible and, this show has been great. It's massive, you know.
It is.
And New York Comic Con is good as well. But, yeah, no, I mean, we do a certain amount of these, but really it's you know, I got to do this work as well.
Sure.
So, you know, like you can only do so many. You know?
Absolutely. Now, we were asking a poll question yesterday to all of the fans coming by the table. It seems like the baton has been passed from George Lucas and Spielberg when they were making their blockbusters to Joss Whedon, Christopher Nolan, and J.J. Abrams. Now, let's say Invisible Republic is going to be turned into a movie. Which of those three directors in that poll question do you trust the most?
You might be biased.
I know.
No, me. I wouldn't let any of them. Seriously, I don't share the sense of.
All right, take Invisible Republic out of it.
I would not let let any of these guys control this stuff. You know, I mean, like, Chris has his movies that he makes, and you know, and I'm happy to work on him and support him in that. And you know, the other guy, J.J. Abrams and
J.J. and Joss. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, if I have to pick one of these people, I'm being picked Nolan because I like I work with him, and I like his movies better than the other.
There we go.
That's a fair answer.
Yeah, that's a fair answer.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So for the jawheads listening to this that want to check out Invisible Republic, check out some of your artwork, where's the best place to find out more information online?
The best place to go is the Image Comics site, because you can go directly to the page about Invisible Republic. You can buy it digitally, DRM-free, on their site, to check
that's
it
awesome.
Out. So it's...
What if they want to find out a little bit more about you? Or are you on Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, on all social media, it's just my name, Gabriel Hardman. So I'm very accessible in that way, and more than happy to talk to people on Twitter.
Awesome. And are you currently working on a movie that you can give us a little sneak peek about?
I just finished a movie, but I can't say anything about it. Look up Christian Bale knee injury, and you'll find out why I'm not working on a movie as of 2 days ago.
that is a good sneak peek. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Nice tip.
Yeah. Gabriel, thanks so much for taking a little time, sure, coming over and talking to us here at Cinema Gel.
Yeah, awesome.
Awesome. Thanks buddy.
Oh, that was great talking to Gabriel, huh?
Oh, it was awesome.
You know what? It's so interesting to get the insight to the behind the scenes of all the processes in filmmaking. Like, storyboarding is something that I guess really sometimes it's forgotten, but it's such an integral part of making this medium that we all love so much.
It's so cool that he works with Christopher Nolan. I feel like if we were playing that Kevin Bacon game, 6 degrees, now I'm 1 degree away from Christopher Nolan.
There
all right?
You go. Yeah.
He's one of my favorite directors, and this guy works with him. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, thanks to Gabriel.
And I really love how he answered that question when I asked him, which of these directors would you want to direct his comic? And he wouldn't let it out of his own hands.
No. He sidestepped it very well.
It is awesome. Oh, man. A lot
great
of fun
guy,
here.
Though. Yeah,
he
a
is.
Lot of fun. Okay, our next guest, we're going to sit down with Kevin Gilligan, no relation to the guy from The Island, and talk about Geeks Out, which is a very important charity. They're doing a lot of work in the gay community, the LGBT community. So let's talk to Kevin. Kevin, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel welcomed.
And now Geeks Out is pretty cool thing that you guys got going on here. For the jawheads here who have not heard of Geeks Out, give us a sales pitch. What do we got here? What's going on? Because it's an awesome thing.
Geeks Out, we're a national nonprofit. We seek to rally, empower, and promote and increase visibility of the LGBT community in geek culture. Part of how we do that is we go to conventions across the country. We provide a safe space for people. We host panels. We had one yesterday on queer creators. They had a lot of indie, and we will have some bigger names. Last year we had a panel, we had Gail Simone on it, we had Chad Sell, who's local, he's known for doing portraits of the RuPaul's Drag Race contestants, and we also have local events in various cities. We had one Friday night here in Chicago, but we are New York based, and we are organizing New York's first queer Comic-Con called FlameCon.
I see the card here. I love that it's called FlameCon. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So actually, when is FlameCon?
FlameCon is June 13th in New York, in Brooklyn, at the Grand Prospect Hall.
Let me ask you a question, Kevin. I mean, within the geek community, have you found that there's still a lot of need for an advocacy group? I mean, I'm a geek too, myself, and I've just been surprised at how much love and respect this community has for its own, but does the advocacy still come into play? Is there still a lot of ignorance out there?
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been a lot of big leaps and strides that have been made. I mean, even if you look at C2E2 and all the conventions, that they've all sort of taken a stance about
harassment.
Yeah. Cosplay is not consent, so that it's a more welcoming and safer environment, but it's still an issue at times, and hopefully it'll become less and less as the years go on.
And that's what you guys are pushing for.
Yeah, I mean, even we promoted FlameCon. We have Phil Jimenez is going to be one of our special guests, and we had a post on IO9. We've had a lot of great and positive response, but the internet being what it is, trolls will troll. And so as long as that sort of is there, we are there to provide a safe space for people so that they know that they're welcome, that there's a place for them in the geek community, and that our voice matters.
I think it's great, man. It's a really positive thing that you're doing, so congratulations on it for sure.
Thank you.
And I like that Matt brought up that this geek community is so welcoming. I think it's one of the best. I'm not the geek here. Matt loves to bring me to this C2E2, right? So I'm sort of a fish out of water here, but when I come here, I really do notice that people love the community, and that they're all friendly. And one of the best groups that I've been around. So
yeah, it's interesting. Like yesterday, you were telling me, Rye, that a guy came up and said, "No, I'm not into comics at all." We're like, why are you here? And he was like, "Oh, I'm here for the beer, because Revolution releases Galaxy Hero, and this is the only place you can get it."
I see.
So he was a beer geek, you know? I mean, yeah. But it's all one great community.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, in our group, you know, people are like, "Oh, you know, I'm in the LGBT community. I'm not a geek." And it's like, well, what are you into? It was like, oh, I mean, I like Game of Thrones. I was like, well, that's a little geeky.
That's kind of geeky.
It's a little geeky, you know. Or, oh, I love horror movies. I'm a huge horror geek, you know. I just did the Insidious tour and laughed.
Oh, how was it?
It's interesting. Okay. I've never done the Oculus Rift, so it was very amusing. Uh-huh. I don't react as other people do in horror situations. I tend to laugh.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
I know how the sausage is made. So, but... you know, everyone geeks out about something, whether it's movies, it's comic books, it's horror movies, you know, sci-fi.
See, right? I think what Kevin is trying to say is you are a geek.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Like I say, there was a Zelda booth there. The guy's selling, like, Zelda shields and swords.
Oh, yeah.
I was into that. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even at FlameCon, we're teaming up with GamerX for gay gamers. It's a convention that happens out on the West Coast. And we're going to have a gaming floor, and there's going to be demos, you know. So we're appealing to all geeks, you know. We have a panel with Mark Patton. I hope I'm saying that. I said his wrong first name yesterday.
Mr. Patton.
Mr. Patton.
Yeah.
He was a star from Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Really amazing guy. One of the first sort of out horror movie stars. And we're going to have a horror panel, and, you know, it's going
to
be great.
That's awesome. Now, in addition to Geeks Out and FlameCon, you also have made a web series, correct?
I have, yes. Beyond my geekly duties with that, I'm a writer and actor, and I co-wrote and co-produced and co-starred in a web series called Gigahose.
Okay.
It's a mockumentary that follows...
Gotta love the name.
I love the name, yes.
It's a mockumentary that follows an escort agency of sex robots.
Oh, right. So, man, I'm waiting for that to become a reality.
Right, you know? Right.
How many episodes?
There's 12 episodes. It's all out online now. It's very digestible. It's all under an hour and a half. It's on YouTube, youtube.com/gigahose.
Okay.
It's, I would say, definitely not safe for work. But nothing worse than you would see, like, on FX or HBO.
Okay.
But there's no overt, there's no nudity, I would say. You may see some man-ass.
Man-ass is fine, yeah.
Right, right.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, yeah, so this is out of New York?
This is based out of New York,
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we're about to gear up for season two, so.
Sweet. That's fantastic, man.
Yeah. So for the jawheads listening to this that want to find out more about FlameCon and Geeks Out, where's the best place to get more information online?
Sure. Geeks Out, you can find us at geeksout.org. You can also find about FlameCon at flamecon.com or flamecon.org. You can go through Geeks Out. There's links through there to get on there.
Right. And we should mention it's geeks with an S. It's plural. Geeks Out.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Awesome.
Because I made that mistake yesterday. I was trying to Google you, and I was Googling Geek Out. So, no, Geeks Out.
Geeks Out. There, yes, there is an S.
Yes.
And for the jawheads that want to check out your web series, the best place to do so?
You can check it out at thegigahose.com. That's GIGAHOES. Or on YouTube, or on the Facebooks, or on the Twitters.
Wonderful.
Thanks,
now,
Kevin.
Now, we've had a poll question going all throughout the fest. It seems like lately the baton has been passed to a new group of blockbuster directors. You used to have George Lucas, uh-huh. Spielberg, and it seems nowadays you got J.J. Abrams, Joss Whedon, or Christopher Nolan. And we were asking, who do you trust most out of that group?
Well, I don't trust... I mean, I trust... Nolan only so far. I was disappointed by Man of Steel, which he had influence.
Produced.
He
yeah.
produced, so he has some stink in the game on that one. Joss Whedon, I love. He does really great, and I'm looking forward to Age of Ultron. JJ, if he's directing it, yes. Producing it, sometimes it's a little. How much involved are you in that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So many people were disappointed by Lost, and understandably so, and it was like, how far away had you gone from the project? How far? So.
Yeah, by the end, I'm sure he was completely far away, although he probably came back right for the very end of it.
I'm sure, yeah. But yeah, no, I think Joss does a good job in that he knows himself and doesn't want to spread himself too thin.
Yeah.
So anything that he's directly involved, he wants to be sort of directly involved. I mean, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has its moments and could be a lot better. There's some great moments, but he's turned it over to his sibling, so it's still in family. So
that's where you're voting, Joss?
I'm voting Joss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's where you casted your vote as well, Matt.
No, I did not. If you recall, I casted my vote for JJ.
Ah.
Because here's my point. If we've trusted him with Star Wars, that's a lot of trust.
Oh, yeah. No.
So.
But, I understand. I understand Star Wars.
I agree with what you said, though. I have no animosity toward any of those directors. So.
Oh, no animosity.
Great.
Yeah. No, I thoroughly enjoyed almost all of the Batman movies.
Ditto.
So.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, we want to thank you for coming on Cinema Jaw, spending a little time with us here at C2E2. Has the show been great for you?
Yeah.
It's been
a lot of fun. I've got to meet a lot of great people. We had people who sort of came up to the booth and just very appreciative of us being here. You know, it meant a lot to them, especially, you know, if they're from a small town and they're just sort of coming out to themselves and to those that they're around. And people have said, you know, thanks to you guys, it partially, you know, why I've been able to sort of come out and why to feel comfortable to come out.
That's great.
Yeah, that's got to be some really great feedback to get, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations again. I think it's a really positive thing that you're doing. Well done.
No, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
No, it's been great. Thanks for having me.
Again, we were talking about how interesting we meet people here. What Kevin's doing and his whole group geeks out is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I know I paid him the compliment, but it's worth repeating. What they're doing is very important. It's very positive. So we thank him for his community service in a way. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, totally. Thanks again for Kevin coming on. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have
Josh Randall
from Insidious. Chapter 3, the movie is coming out.
Yeah.
He is here with a 4D experience.
Oh.
You are going to love what this is all about.
Can't wait.
Plus, in addition to that, Matt, you are taking on a random fan in trivia, Women of Comic Book Movie Trivia. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
This week's special Cinema Jaw from the C2E2 is brought to you by Mobile Monkey. Listen, if you have a kid or maybe you're going on a camp out, it's really important to keep your cell phones charged to stay in touch. Check out Mobile Monkey. It's at MobileMunky.com, Mobile Monkey with a U. And what they do is sell an awesome battery pack. It's less than a pound. It fits right in your purse or your pocket, and you can charge your cell phone on the fly. It charges an iPhone 6, most cell phones, up to 3 or 4 times per charge. It also has a handy LED flashlight that's built right in, perfect for campouts. And again, parents, like I said, perfect to give to your kid. No more excuses. They have to be in touch with you. Check them out. We thank them for their support. MobileMunky.com. Thank you for listening to Cinema Jaw.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw, and we have another guest joining us.
Whew.
And this is a really cool one,
yeah,
too. Josh Randall is running what they are calling Insidious, the 4D experience. And this is in promotion of the new Insidious, Chapter 3. We are in Chapter 3 now.
Yeah, the 4D. You know what? Josh knows the name. Very well, because it's a mouthful.
And it's almost like a haunted house here at C2E2.
I think that's fair to say.
It is. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on.
Yes, it's welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you. It's the Insidious Into the Further 4D experience.
And now people put on the Oculus Rift virtual reality goggles.
They do. They do. I like to describe it as sort of a cross between a traditional haunted house and an Oculus Rift virtual reality haunted house.
This is right up my alley, dude. I'm the resident horror fan, so
excellent.
It's gonna be a long way, but I'm excited to go through the haunted house.
Who came up with the idea of doing this kind of experience at C2E2 and at different Comic-Cons?
Well, we're currently on a 9-city tour right now, so all of this is in promotion, obviously, for Insidious 3, which is going to be opening on June 5th. As part of that marketing campaign, they decided to put together a live event to tour the country to really have people experience, obviously, not only this new form of virtual reality, the Oculus Rift experience, but to create something live that they can actually get themselves involved with the characters, sort of enter the world of Insidious, and, you know, really sort of looking at marketing as that being one of the best ways to kind of involve people so that they become excited to go see the movie. We've been working on, this company has been working on live events from horror movies for a couple of years now. We did some stuff with The Purge last year, a couple of different shows with The Purge. Obviously, we're working with Insidious now, and we're, you know, happy to spread it around the country.
It's awesome. And it should be noted, because I was talking to a big fan of Insidious, this actually isn't a movie that you're seeing when Chapter 3 comes out in addition to it.
Yeah, this is a completely standalone event. That's what makes it so exciting for any fans of the Insidious franchise. They're going to find characters that they know and, you know, hopefully love within this experience. They're going to find some of the scares and creepy things that they know from parts 1 and 2 that have all been integrated into this experience to prepare people for part 3.
And now James Wan directed the first Insidious in 2010. It spawned this humongous hit. Now Insidious is a franchise.
Yeah, it is. And it's we're currently on Chapter 3. This one was with Lee Whannell, the director. And it's a great movie. I think people have really latched on to a lot of the characters and the concepts within it. We've been seeing, you know, obviously you see that through ticket sales for the movie, but we've been seeing it live with everybody who's coming through the experience.
Josh, have you seen the movie? I don't want to put you on the spot, but have you seen it?
Yes.
Is it good?
It's excellent.
Okay.
Definitely
that's
the scariest.
That's all I'm going to dig.
Definitely the scariest of the three.
Really?
Really?
Wow. Yeah. That's saying a lot, too.
Well, this is an origin story, and that's what's really exciting about Chapter 3.
Right?
It is, yeah. So anyone who hasn't seen 1 or 2 can come into number 3, you know, with fresh eyes and you know, sort of innocent to the whole thing, and it tells its own story. It really does stand alone. But, you know, if you're familiar with the franchise, then you're going to see a lot of things that you've seen from 1 and 2 and sort of how that started.
You know, it's interesting. I was going to ask you, like, what if somebody at C2E2 is not familiar with Insidious and they go through the experience, the 4D experience? Are they gonna learn stuff about the franchise and have a good experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, listen, the experience in and of itself stands alone even without the movies. It's a really exciting show. Like I said, there are some traditional haunt elements where you're sort of walking through on your own, and then the majority of the experience you have the Oculus goggles on and you're watching it.
That is so cool.
Even if you really could care less about the Insidious characters, which nobody really seems to, but even if you couldn't care about them, it's a really cool and fun way to experience this virtual reality technology and to really become immersed in this story. And like I said, the Oculus portion of the Into the Further experience really stands on its own whether you know the characters or not. Obviously, if you know the characters, you're going to have that much more fun.
Sure. I think this is something we have to experience.
I agree. We have to go through it after we get done with this interview.
I think so too.
Now, this is Kids Day, a Sunday, Kids Day at C2E2. Yep. Have you had any little ones go in there and almost be too scared? Start crying?
Yeah, we definitely have. You know, as the tour manager, I try to dissuade parents from bringing in kids that are under 13. It is worth noting that you do have to sign a waiver before going through. If you're under 18, you will need a parent or guardian to sign that waiver, and I try to dissuade anyone under 13 from bringing someone in.
I was just about to say, actually.
I mean, I have more stories of older men coming in and running out and not even completing the experience. Frankly, not even starting the experience, if we're being honest. Almost more so than the kids. It's for 13 and above.
That's pretty awesome.
It seems like a challenge at this point. Like, I got to go do this thing, man.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Now, Matt likes to put everybody on the spot. As you said, you saw this one, Chapter 3. Is it the best Insidious?
Well, that is certainly not for me to decide. It's a completely
subjective comment. Your favorite, though. Your favorite.
I'll say, listen, I'm a big fan of the franchise, and I've loved all three movies. I really enjoyed 1. I had a great time seeing 2. And number 3 was just a continuation of, you know, some of the scares and the storylines that you sort of become accustomed to in 1 and 2. And so with that, I mean, I'm just a big fan of the series. I think I might get fired if I say I choose a favorite, and so I'm not going to say anything.
You can't choose between your kids.
No, I can't. Yes. Well, they're not really my kids, but, you know, the kids I watch over.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're babysitting them.
I'm babysitting them, and frankly, there's no point in playing favorites until mom and dad go home.
Agreed.
And starring in this one is Dermot Mulroney. He was new to the series.
He was, yeah.
Excellent job or what? I love this guy.
He's excellent. Great actor. He's done a lot of really cool movies. He's done a lot of cool TV shows. From everything that I know, it was great to have him as part of that Insidious team. And he does a great job. I mean, the whole movie sort of takes the story into kind of different realm in that it's telling the story of how everything started. And so there are new characters, but there's a lot of things spread throughout the movie to entertain the folks that are very familiar with parts 1 and 2.
Now, Josh, I believe you said there are 9 stops on this tour. Is that correct?
We're making 9 stops. It's technically, I believe, in terms of ticket sales, it's actually 7. But we have already stopped in New Orleans, Atlanta, Miami. Obviously, we're here in Chicago now. We're going to be going to Philadelphia.
Is that next?
It is. We're heading to Philadelphia tomorrow with the trucks, actually.
Oh, wow.
And then we'll hit up Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, and New York City.
So for people that want to experience it, is there a website that they should go to see when it's going to be in their city?
There is. It's intothefurther.me, which is M-E, intothefurther.me, and they can find all dates, locations, times, all that good stuff. And I should also mention it's a free experience.
That is, you can't beat that.
Free? Scary? Why wouldn't you do it?
I don't know.
I'm pumped to go through it. And you better hold my hand like when we...
No. You have to go through by yourself.
Well, we'll see. But Josh, we want to thank you for coming on Cinema Jaw. And for the Jawheads, one more time, the date of the movie comes out.
Insidious Chapter 3 comes out June 5th. And you can find all the information on intothefurther.me for the 4D experience.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Josh. We are back on the floor here at C2E2. And what was funny, as we said at the beginning of the show, for trivia, there's a lot of cool people just walking around, fans of comic book movies.
Yeah.
So what we decided to do this week is actually just grab somebody off the showroom floor, just a fan of C2E2, and have that person take you on in trivia.
I'm ready.
And you better be, Matt. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we are playing Women of Comic Book Movies.
Oh, nobody here is going to know anything about that.
Right. Now, we just went across our table, and we grabbed somebody and said, hey, you want to take Matt on in trivia? And we grabbed Ken from Bridgeview. Ken, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, were you here all 3 days at C2E2?
Yes.
You love it?
Oh, yeah. Come every year, all 3 days. Been coming since it started.
Big fan of comic book movies?
Yeah.
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 Coolest thing that you've seen here at C2E2 over the weekend? What's your highlight?
You know what? One of the cosplays I seen, a girl walking around with a computer monitor on her head, and she was staring at her phone the other day, so I had to grab a picture of it. Just weird. I don't know if it's from something or not. But that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's noteworthy, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I saw her, too. That was a strange cosplay.
Right.
Now, you're taking Matt on in trivia. Matt on the show usually loses to the guests, so no pressure, all right? Now, we've been doing trivia here on the floor, as you've seen, all week.
Right.
But this time, it's going to be 8 questions. You're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals, and you get one lifeline. You can ask the crowd watching us recording this for help from the crowd. So... it is Women of Comic Book Movies. Ken, you want to go first or let Matt?
I am going to let Matt.
All right.
Question number one. I should note, the first couple questions are easy. Then they get harder as it goes down the line. Question one over to Matt. Matt, who played Lois Lane in Bryan Singer's 2006 film, Superman Returns?
That was?
Lois Lane, Superman Returns.
Oh. Her name was...
Both of them are thinking. Doesn't seem like Ken has it yet either. You do have a lifeline if you want to use it on the first question.
No, I'm going to hold on to it. Penelope Cruz, I have no idea. Was it not Penelope Cruz?
It was not. Ken, you got a chance for a steal.
Kate Bosworth.
Ooh.
It should be noted, too, because we have a lot of swag here that we're giving away, Ken is playing for the ultimate prize pack. We got 2 shirts, a hat, movie posters, all kinds of good stuff that is on the line if he beats Matt in movie trivia. And he's up 1-0.
No pressure.
Question number 2 now over to Ken, Women of Comic Book Movies. Gwyneth Paltrow plays Pepper Potts, but she also starred in this 2004 film with Jude Law and Angelina Jolie, where the film was filmed entirely in front of a green screen. Name it. Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie.
I got part of it. I don't know the whole title.
If you say it out loud, it may start to come to you.
I wonder if it's Something in the World of Tomorrow.
All right. You are on the right track. You're looking up at it now. If there wasn't a roof there, you'd be seeing first word. Ken.
Sky in the World of Tomorrow. Sky.
Ooh, just saw a good Captain America. Sky.
Sky America and the World of Tomorrow.
We're going to give it to him. We're going to give it to him. Yes, we are.
On,
it's Sky Captain in the World
Sky
Tomorrow.
Captain.
Close enough. It is now 2-0, Ken. Question 3 over to Matt. Matt.
All right.
Name the actress.
Ken, you got to give me on that one.
Matt, name the actress who played Mystique in Bryan Singer's 2000 X-Men films.
Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
He is on the board. It is 2-1.
At that time, she was Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Right.
Now just Rebecca Romijn.
Well done. Question 4 now over to Ken. All right, buddy. Who starred as Carol Ferris, the love interest in Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern? Ryan Reynolds and who?
Nobody saw that movie.
In Green Lantern. Hey, we're at C2E2.
They
got to be
Ryan
tough
Reynolds
questions.
Ryan Reynolds' mom saw it.
Admittedly, I don't think I've seen that one. I'm a Marvel fan.
You do have a lifeline. I don't know if somebody's going to know that one, though. Want to use it? We'll yell out for you.
If I pass, can I still use the lifeline
yeah,
later?
Later? Yeah, later, yes.
I'm going to pass because I might need it for something.
Down the road, okay.
Matt, it's over to you.
All right. What's the question again?
Who played
the love interest in Green Lantern?
Lantern.
Yeah.
Any guess?
That was my mom. No?
Incorrect. No. Incorrect.
I thought she was in that movie.
We were looking for Blake Lively. Blake Lively.
Wow.
Wow. That was a tough one, Matt.
Yeah.
All right. It is still 2-1, Ken. Question 5 is over to you, Matt. Matt, right. Name the two actresses who played Betty Ross in the Hulk movies circa 2003 and 2008.
Jennifer Connelly in the Ang Lee movie, and then in the one with Edward Norton, it wasn't my mom. She turned down the role. Oh, man. Why is it going to be two answers?
Hey, you do have a lifeline. You can ask somebody out on the crowd here.
Oh, man. I better.
Yeah. We're using a lifeline.
Who played the love interest
in Ed Norton?
In the Ed Norton Hulk movie. Who played Betty Ross?
Matt went to his lifeline. This is his lifeline.
From the first one or the second one? It was Jennifer Connelly in the first one.
Right.
In the second one with Ed Norton, yeah. He played the girl. The girl.
Liv Tyler. Yes!
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Matt ties it up 2-2. What a lifeline. Wow. All right. Question number 6 is over to Ken. Ken, Batgirl, Alicia Silverstone, starred in Clueless. What actor played her stepbrother in the film?
In Clueless?
Yes. He is going to be an Ant-Man as well.
I got this.
He is thinking.
He was also in This Is 40.
I got his last. Paul Rudd.
Well done. Yes.
3-2. And question number 6, I should say 7, is over to Matt. Last two questions here. He has used his lifeline. Matt, which actress plays Roxanne Simpson, Blaze's old sweetheart, in the 2007 film Ghost Rider?
Oh, man.
Nick Cage and who?
That's a trick question. It was actually Nicolas Cage's mom.
That is incorrect. Ken, you got a chance for a steal and
Mrs.
to wrap
Cage,
up this
no?
wrap up this ball game. Do you want to use your lifeline? We got a group right here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to use lifeline.
Call him over, Matt.
We need your help. Help me, Jesus.
There is a guy dressed as Jesus. Here's the lifeline. Ask him the question.
All right, what is the question?
Who was the girl in Ghost Rider, the actress? Nick Cage and who?
You guys. Couple more minds in here. Who's the lead female in Ghost Rider?
Anybody? We got one more question, one more to ask.
Eva Mendes.
Want to go with it?
I'm going to go with that. That sounds right.
Eva Mendes.
Thank you. What a lifeline.
Thank you.
Matt, that puts him up 4-2.
Oh, my God.
He has won this game, but it is the last question of the game. He can pile it on here. This is over to Ken, actually.
Man.
Kirsten Dunst, who played Mary Jane, also starred in Marie Antoinette in 2006. Who directed that movie?
I know. The director questions are always the worst.
They are.
She also directed Lost in Translation. Any guess? It's okay because you're a winner already.
I got nothing.
Sofia Coppola?
Wow. Matt does make a little bit of a comeback, but he loses this one 4-3. We get a handshake.
Well done, Ken.
Ken wins the prize pack. In case it came down to a tie, we did have a jawbreaker. This would have been to you, Ken.
Okay.
Hotter, Catwoman, Michelle Pfeiffer, or Anne Hathaway?
Oh, that's tough. In her prime, Michelle Pfeiffer, but I gotta go Anne Hathaway.
It was Michelle Pfeiffer. The real jawbreaker was this. Age of Liv Tyler.
Okay.
Closest to. What do you got, man?
I'd say 34.
34?
I'm going to go about 39.
Give that one to Ken. 37.
Okay.
Wow. Matt loses to a random guy on C2E2 floor.
What else is new?
Well, Ken, we want to thank you for coming on. Enjoy your prize pack here, and enjoy the rest of the show.
I will. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Matt, you went down in flames in trivia. What's new?
What else is new? Yeah. I blame it on the Galaxy Hero.
Oh, man. Well, let's update the Jawheads on our poll question. Today's poll question, who do you trust most, Whedon, Nolan, or J.J. Abrams? We are closing the poll. This is the most votes we have ever had in the history
of
a cinema job.
Over 1,000 votes.
And Joss Whedon won by 71 votes.
Wow.
71 votes. He is the winner. Christopher Nolan came in second. And poor J.J. Abrams, your vote, Matt, came in dead last. He only got a few votes compared to the other guys.
Yeah, but ask the question, which movie do you want to see the most, Star Wars is going to win.
Yeah, well, we asked that poll question, Matt. And we asked yesterday, look at this poll, which movie do you want to see if you can only see one and you couldn't see the other two? Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Uh-huh.
Or Batman vs. Superman.
And who won that, Rye?
We, again, had a ton of votes. We counted it up. It was much closer.
Yeah, very
Star
close.
Star Wars won 17 votes ahead.
Funny how
over
that is.
Over Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, the fans have spoken.
So.
And what they have said is, we don't know who the director is. Pretty much,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They love their Joss Whedon here.
They do. Well, you know, I think everyone's really excited for Avengers. And like I said, if we were betting on this, I think that's where the safe money is.
Sure,
really.
Yeah. Sure. Well, Matt, we got some more movie trivia to play here on the floor, so we got to wrap up this amazing podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got to thank our guests.
Yeah, thanks to Josh Randall, thanks to Kevin Gilligan, and thanks to Gabriel Hardman. All fantastic to talk to you guys.
Yes. We also want to thank our sponsors. These were very special sponsors this week.
Yeah, Mobile Monkey. I have kept my phone charged all weekend with this device. Seriously, when you're at the booth, you don't have a lot of opportunities to get a charge in, so... Thanks to Mobile Monkey. Also, thanks to Guinea Pixel making amazing games over on Google Play. And last, but certainly not least, is OnScribe. They're helping out independent creators. And there is no better cause in my book, Ryan, than helping out guys like us and other people out there making their own content.
And we also have to thank the best engineer in the biz, Elias Rodriguez, who was here helping us all day yesterday. He is at a film festival right now.
With his own movie, yeah.
With his own movie, which is
so
pretty
exciting.
Cool. And so we obviously have to thank the best intern in all of internships, TJ, for helping us out, not even just with the podcast today, but with setting everything up, breaking everything down. TJ, thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
This was your first C2E2. Did it live up to the hype?
You know, it did. I wasn't really as hyped as I thought I'd be. You know.
You're a pretty laid-back guy, TJ.
I am.
I don't think I've ever seen you hyped.
It's okay.
But this weekend, I can say I have seen you drunk.
Very drunk.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They serve Galaxy Hero, Revolution's special brew for C2E2. I actually ran into someone, like we said, that just...
Came here for the beer.
That's amazing. Huh?
Yeah.
And it's good beer, isn't it, TJ?
Oh, it's great beer.
Yes,
it
is.
Great beer.
And speaking of great beer, I think it's time we wrap up this podcast and all go get a beer.
I agree.
So thanks, TJ. Thanks, Elias. Until next week, check us out on Facebook if this is your first show, because I know we passed out a lot of flyers and have a lot of new listeners. Please check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jumping. About the movies.